Erev Shabbos. I remember the first time that I understood or began to understand, the first time I ever like even was introduced to the idea that there was such opposition to Breslov. I didn't get it. I didn't understand why. It could be that I was just uninformed. You know, I didn't know. But I was reading through Fire and Water. Reading for Fire and Water, first year at YU, and I was sitting in a statistics class in Belfer Hall. This is like one of those, you know, first semester at YU, you know, nauseous nights in Belfer. It's like evening time, it was already getting dark. I was sitting there in like that room, that big room, you know, I was reading the book in the back. And doing this up to the chapter about how, and I remember exactly the feeling I had. I was loving the book and feeling so connected to the whole thing, learning Meshivas Nefesh before, or I don't want to say before Seder, because that implies that it was like, I was learning Meshivas Nefesh during morning Seder. I know Simon Shir in the very beginning of Seder, with David Perl, Zolzayin Gazun from Los Angeles. I hope someday he'll hear that, mention his name in this. And we're learning Meshivas Nefesh in the morning, we're learning Shtapchas Nefesh in the evening, and really just becoming introduced to Reb Nosson, and being, you know, really being swept away and falling in love with Reb Nosson's openness and sensitivity and really opening up and like softening up to this and like being formed by it at age. Literally I just turned 19 and was totally fresh in this whole thing and thought everything was rose colored. Talmid Baal Shem Tov, this whole pathway, it was like a really strong, you know, it was like all day Reb Shlomo tapes and all night Reb Weinberger tapes and reading Through Fire and Water in between. And I got up to the part in Through Fire and Water where, like, you hear about the opposition, not just to Rabbeinu, but to Reb Nosson. How, like, they're throwing rocks through the window of the breast of Shul, other Talmid Baal Shem Tov. I mean, I was going to say, maybe I shouldn't say the names of it, of them, because it's, you know, whatever, Lashon Hara, Rosh Chodesh Menachem Av, but they believed wholeheartedly in what they were doing. From Moshe Tzvi Savran and from Shpoler Zeta, it was something that they believed in very, very clearly, that they were on the right side of history, and they threw rocks, and harassed Reb Nosson, and trash his stuff, and he was driven out of his home. He wasn't able to get a job. Everywhere he went for a job interview, they followed him and they'd yell and scream all these terrible things. And then in late 1834, he was imprisoned on all these trumped up charges. They literally framed him and he went to jail. And I remember I was reading this and my whole world was like falling apart. Like I thought everybody was like, it was like this, here was the answer. You know, like the world is full of pirud. The world is full of machlokas. The world is full of, you know, opposition and negativity and darkness, and here you have Baal Shem Tov and everything's cool and everything's going to be like rose color, happy, you know. And then like this, I guess in the back of my mind I knew a little bit, but like somehow I remember that day, it was so painful. Anyways, there's a series of letters that reflect that time period that Reb Nosson's writing about, and it happens to be Afka, this time of year, Parshios of Balak, Pinchas, Matas, Maaseh, summertime Parshiot of after that period, after Nosson was imprisoned on all these trumped up charges, and it was Jews, it was from Jews who were moser him and who were, you know, really tormenting and making his life difficult. I'll just introduce the letter we're going to read with a short hakdama from the letter that precedes it. This letter, Kufzadi Gimel, it's not here on the Xerox, where Reb Nosson is writing in the midst of all of this. After he got out of jail, he came back to Breslov. He hadn't been in Breslov in a long time. He came back to Breslov, and soon thereafter, just like when he thought he was settled, he got chased out again. He had to flee. He ended up going back to Nemrov, and Nosson, you know, he had a few children, His youngest child was only 6 years old. Yosef Yona was his youngest son's name, a six-year-old, and father had to leave his house. It wasn't safe for him to be home. He was getting harassed, and his family was getting harassed. And he was confined to the city of Nemrov. But he wasn't able to. He was like under house arrest, and like he couldn't get proper papers to go to Uman for Shana. And finally, he was able to. But it was a very difficult time. He couldn't find proper work, and his family was suffering. I mean, a father's suffering with Parnasa. Shalom Bayis is affected, even by tzaddikim. And children were growing up in an environment where there was this toxic environment of opposition and lashon hara about their father. And Reb Nosson writes, Chazak lematz b'ni, strengthens his son. Burev avein hetev, understand well. Ich rod fin es adam achol eis. How a person can be chased, can be pursued all the time. Befrat, especially, mishrotz la geshes ala kedusha. Somebody wants to approach and reveal holiness. Ve'im lanu ki ma'at nekudas tovos, shechot fin b'chol yom. And all we have is a little bit of Nekudas Tovos, a good moment here, a positive thought there, a good intention here, and a good intention there. Al yidei tze'ako, tefila v'limud, like crying out, and a little bit davening, and a little learning, v'ratzon, a desire, v'hishtokus, v'kisufim tovim. All these desires to be good, I want to be good. Al yidei eizem mitzvah, the law and mitzvah shezochim, lasot tzedaka gemil chasadim. This is not like, you know, this is like these self-help books. I read a lot of them. And over the years, I've heard many of the best talk about positive self-image, and positive psychology, thinking good, building ourselves up in chizukim. And often, until recently where it started, the vulnerability is trending now. But often it's like kind of saying, you know, I've been through it and I've succeeded and now I'm awesome and I'm successful. And I'm going to tell you how to be your greatest self and be awesome and successful too. Reb Nosson is so different. Reb Nosson's voice is coming from within. It's not like, yeah, I was there too, and now I'm out of it. And now I've reached the finish line, and now I'm going to tell you, I'm like your greatest self, and you're going to be this gewaltige person. But from within the pain, within the brokenness, Reb Nosson's writing these letters, in the middle of all of that, and I remember thinking at that time, sitting there first of all, I remember like I took a walk afterwards and I was thinking like, you know, how is he able to like maintain himself? Lekutei tefilos and lekutei halachos, and like be a person who is learning Torah and growing with all of this stuff. But that's Reb Nosson's Torah. Right? I mean, it wasn't despite of all of this. It was through all of this. That's Reb Nosson's Torah for us. That's why nowadays, I mean, all roads in the end are leading to Reb Nosson. All the rivers are flowing to the sea, the Rabbeinu, or to their Talmidim, or to those who are copying and pasting what they say and taking it and using different language and not quoting the sources. But that's fine too. Reb Nachman said, don't worry about quoting me. People have platinas on me. Just take my Torah and put it out there. Give people the medicine that they need. Give people the prescription that they need in order to be healthy, to be validated. Says Reb Nosson, "Ein la'adam ela osa hayom." And all we have is the moment that we're in right now, in order to just connect ourselves to a good point, to a good ratzon. There's a footnote on the bottom of the letter, Kuf Tzadi Gimel, which is like an extensive footnote. You know, the good stuff is always in the footnotes, where the Tepliker, right, who we talked about, put this together, writes, "Asaper ma'at mizer pachos metipa hayam asher avar umarin maranat." Just to understand a little bit of a drop in the ocean of what Reb Nosson was going through, and this is literally this paragraph that he writes here is what's in through fire and water. I remember this, and when I stumbled upon this year when I was traveling. I was in five towns during that blizzard, the week of January 1st. We got crazy blizzards. I was stuck at my good friend Danny Gerber's house. And even though I was surrounded by people that I love, and good friends came over, and we drank beers by this fireplace, and it was really sweet, and it was very beautiful. It was really great, and I felt very connected to them, and I love them. Still, you know, I had it in mind. I had in mind to be somewhere, and I wasn't able to be there. And you know, what's happening at home, what's happening by me. I felt exiled. I felt exiled. And I, with Hashgacha Pratis, got up to this part of, that's always the way it is with the letters of Tzaddikim. Chabad has a whole system of this, opening up letters. Letters are very personal, especially if someone's heart is open. Really, you know, like every song you hear on the radio is about some girl that dumped you, you know, whatever, at that moment, or everyone in their own way. And every message that's happening is about, like, exactly what's going on right now in my life. That's called a person who's open to hearing Hashem's voice and open to receiving the Orach Chozer from Hashem. And it's true also with Reb Nosson, especially when we open our heart to Reb Nosson. And this, in this footnote here, just describes the inuim, the suffering that Reb Nosson was going through and how painful it was for him. And in the midst of all of that suffering, right, when he was in the Kelan, he was in the Haturme, some, I don't know, some Ukrainian word for prison. Inuo to sham ma'od. And they made him suffer in that prison terribly. Meshivo to ben gazlonim v'rotzchei nefashos. He was with thieves and murderers. Reb Nosson was with thieves and murderers in the lowest place. And in the midst of all of that, the following letter is written. Okay? The following letter, Kuf Tzadi Dalad, in front of you, Zeh HaMichtav Nichtav Le'achar Shiyatza Mahatfisa. This is the letter that was written during this time of year, this month, during the month of Av, in 1835. In that time. To know where it's coming from. La'uvi b'ni chavivi shalom v'chaim v'chol tuv. Writing to his son Rabbi Yitzchak again. Mikhtavcha kibalti ata v'cha'et ein mila b'lshoni. I got your letter. And I have no words. Ki minastam tiyeh po imirtz Hashem al Shabbos kodesh haba alin l'tova panam alpanam daber. We're going to be together soon and we'll speak face to face. And I just, right now, I'm closed. I can't express. He was just thinking about where he just was. What can I say? Ma agid lachem? Ka'es adibur atzur b'chines ne'alamti dumiyah. I'm closed. Right? I have nothing to share. On the other hand, tzrichim nekayim yitain ba'afar piu ulai yesh tikva ulai ulai. On the other hand, I have nothing to, I'm so stuck and exhausted, but maybe I could, maybe I could find some word to express the belief that there's still hope. Meaning when we say like ancient Yiddish, we say all these like sismot and these bumper stickers, these best of a bumper stickers, understand the reason why they have lasting power, the reason why they have lasting power and eternal relevance, and the reason why it resonates with us, the reason why it's what works, is because it's coming from a very real place. This was not laboratory Torah. This is not theoretical Torah. What series of shiurim should I give now? Maybe I'll give it. And I'm not. This is not a knock. This is not a knock on Torah. Torah is tavlin. Torah is mechay. Is meshivas nefesh. Torah is Hashem tamima meshivas nefesh. Every area of Torah, every single one of these rishonim and achronim that are on these shelves, and the ones that are not on the shelf. But maybe I should give a 15-part series on the International Dateline. Maybe there are people who read those in the Journal of Contemporary Halacha, you know, the Contemporary Society of Halacha. And then there are people like me who say, I'm glad that someone has this covered. Like the Iranian nuclear crisis. You know, I'm glad that Bibi is on it and Caroline Glick and my dad are on top of the situation. My father's sending out emails all the time to the family, must read. Like, as if I have some input on the situation. I guess he's saying, you know, my father believes in my tefillos more than I believe in them. Maybe he wants me to know the urgency that I should rally myself and pray on behalf of whatever is taking place over there, whatever centrifuges are taking, you know. On that. But I'm glad to know that there's somebody who's covering the Dateline issue. Another time, I was on a flight with Rabbi Moshe Tarragon once, and we had a discussion about this. It's from L.A. to Eretz Israel, and it was like we were discussing strategies for like different sleeping pills. And like what time to take them, and that what time, how it's going to work with davening. I was like, I don't know. I'm going to have a flask of vodka and a thing here, and I'm just going to like see what happens, and I'm going to wake up with my tefillin on. And he was like, wait, hold on a second. Like, it was like many years ago and whatever, but. And he said, what about the daylight? I'm like, I'm glad that you have it covered. But here's what's going to happen. If I say, open the thing when it's light out, I'm going to put tefillin on. When it's dark out, I'm going to daven marav. Whatever happens first, that's what's going to happen. I was like, I'll figure it out. I'm like, my whole thing. There's not like, there's Torah, which is like theoretical construct Torah, which we have to learn Kol HaTorah Kol. I'm learning Zvachim now. I'm trying, meaning Rabbi Ari Leibowitz and Rabbi Shalom Rosner are learning Zvachim, and I listen to them learning Zvachim. I'm trying to follow along with Rav Steinsaltz, the art scroll, and Masifta, and you know, and a lot of this Torah is just kind of like out there in the world Torah. And then there's Torah that emerges from something that's happening in real time right now. And this letter is coming from what Rav Nosson's going through right now, and it's what's happening to him. La'achar she'yatza ma'atfisa, like right now, he's not able to be home with his 6-year-old son. Like right now, he's not able to be home with his wife and children, and he's not able to like be mitparnes properly, take care of his family. And right now, he's not able to be with his chaver, and he's not able to go to Breslov where his family is. He's stuck. He's away from where he wants to be, where he yearns to be. Ulai yesh tikva, ulai. Like maybe there's hope. This is again after coming back and then going back to Brussels and having to leave again, back and forth, over and over again. All of that up and down and back and forth is happening to him. Vim tichtov elef famim otzem miruas nafshecha, and Yirmiyahu is writing to his son who is going through a difficult time also. I mentioned last time divorce and also his own issues, suffering because of his. Because he's Reb Nosson's son and suffering because of what was going on in his life and because of the redifos against Breslov. If you write to me 1,000 times about Meriras Nafshecha, about the pain and the bitterness that you're feeling in your soul, Yadati, I know. Ki kvar avar alai alfei alafim pa'amim Meriras yoter v'yoter. Whoa, do I know? I understand you, bro. I get you. I'm with you. It's not theoretical. It's happening in real time. And Hashem should have mercy and have compassion on us. And it's not just about me that I'm going through it, I'm dafuk because of what's happening, because of my professional choices, let's say, because of my religious affiliation, because of what I'm doing. But this is the Rachmanas of the Tzaddikim. This is the Rachmanas, the Alev Basar, flesh of a heart, an open heart. When a Jew is in pain, there's an opportunity to just be open to others also, and to have compassion. You know, we never know what's going another person's carrying. Until we carry it ourselves and we start to feel a little bit broken, we start to like imagine what everyone else is going through. It's the godless, like we're talking about last Leil Shabbos. Shasem sfatai tiftach afiyagin to asecha. Not just open my lips, but open up my boundaries that I should see. Min ha-meitzar karasika. From my meitzar, from my constriction, from my suffering, from my exile, from my mitzrayim, from my constriction, Karasik, I'm calling out to you, I'm not even merchav, like open me up that I should be able to connect with other people and be noseva olam chaveiro and feel what other people are going through and experience the tzar hashchina ultimately. Let me be in the most expansive way, know that b'chol tzaroso, b'chol tzarata lo tzar, that Hashem is also in this, so to speak. That Hashem is anochi yeredim cha Mitzrayim, that I'm with you in Mitzrayim. Reb Nosson is in Mitzrayim, he's there. And he's saying to his son, I'm with you. And I went through this too. And not just that you and I are here together, but no. Shara Nashim Rubam Kichulim Behechrich. Everybody, it's the way it works. The soul comes into the world against its will. In a certain sense, that soul is born into exile. I'll call Echad Mashiyahor. Kashera Iti Vani Ro'eh. And as I've seen, and I see now, ata be'inai, ma'odi ad hayom, I see now, what I experienced then, till today, chol minei merirus, v'tzaros, v'isurim, all in bitterness, and pain, and difficulties, and suffering. Sh'ovrim al kol echad, b'chol yom, b'chol eis. This is the same like Breslov, mitzvah gedoliot b'simcha tamid. The same truck jumping, freilach, freilach, freilach. Right? The Rebbe Tzkehazen, freilach zayin. The Rebbe said, always be freilach. Until we're wearing, you know, until we're at the end of our life, we're wearing our tachrichim, still to be freilach. It's the same Rebbe,
Same truth.
It's the same reality. The same thing. This is it. The same Ein Shem Yesh Ba'olam Klal. That this is it. V'chol Yom, V'chol Eis. Hakol, all of it. All of our existential crisis, all of our suffering, all of the Yisurin, all of the difficulty and pain and hassle and bitterness that a person can experience in this world. Hakol Nimshach Mechorban Beis HaMikdash. It is the state of the world since the destruction. Shisham Ikar HaKdusha, Ikar HaTikun HaKol. There in the Beis HaMikdash, where heaven and earth met, that was the place. Ashachin Shmo Sham, where Hashem expressed Himself in the world, where prophecy came from, where the Sanhedrin met, where there was clarity, where the Kohen Gadol came, Lefnai V'Lefnim, where He was Matayr, where He purified the Jewish people, where the names of the Shvatim were on His shoulders and on His heart, where there was clarity. The person wasn't sure, didn't know what to do in life, so we go to the Beis HaMikdash, where if we did something wrong, and we all do something wrong, when there was an Aveira, and there was a sense of distance between man and God, we were able to bring a Korban to the Beis HaMikdash and experience it. It was manifest. The Tikkun was manifest. We bring a Korban. And there'd be smicha on the Korban. And then the Zrikas Hadam. And then the Hector Evarim, the Chalavim. And the process of fixing and drawing close and filling the gap and the void between man and God and the way we felt internally. We were there in the Beis HaMikdash where there was that sense of closeness and awareness. A place of Yira. Right before we left, the week that we came this summer, I went with one of my kids. We went to the Machon HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Let's go to the Kotel. Let's go to Yerushalayim before we take leave, before we head out, you know, for the summer. And Shira Tova, she's little. Shira Tova, the sweetest. She learned about the Mishkan this year. And she learned about the Karbanos, and learned about the Kalim. She knew the names of the Kalim, the Big Day Kohen. We learned it the past few months. She could tell you all the vestments of the high priest. She could tell you the different Karbanos, and it's like, you know, they have pictures in the class and everything like that. We went to the Machon HaMikdash, and it was real to her. And we walked, there was just the two of us. We got there, we got there when it opened, and there was like the school groups that were coming, but we were the first in. And I didn't want to do the tour because it's a little long and she's little and we wanted to go out and get ice cream, but it was just bang, 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 and it was all of a sudden I saw each step of the way was just like this amazement. And she said, "So why don't we just do it here?" And we're like, "We have this big mizbeach, you know, the big mizbeach." We're the only two in the room, and she's like, "Wow, this is really the way it was that big." So yeah. She's like, "So why don't we just do it?" You know, she's shielded from all the pain of the world. You know, like, she doesn't know from the pain of the world. She doesn't know about the suffering of the world. She doesn't know about divorce. She doesn't know about death. She doesn't know about it. Even like in our family this year, there was a terrible tragedy, and we shielded it. We completely, like, you know, she, like, we just worked it out that, like, as much as possible, she wouldn't really connect with what was happening. You know, and she drew a couple pictures and moved on, you know. I mean, for her, the Beis HaMikdash, like, why not? You know, since Chinah doesn't apply, you know, she tying us on people. Yeah, okay, she wants, you know, she wants more little bites or whatever, but like, she gets over it. There's not sinas chinam there. There's not that pain. There's not brokenness. There's not off the derech. There's not machlokis between people. There's not like siblings sitting shiva in separate places because they can't get fighting over their dead parents' money. Like it's not something that's part of her world. You know, like she's a little kid. There's a cleanliness there. So that world of pain and suffering, thank God, thank you Hashem, doesn't apply. So why can't we just do it? Because it's a place of tikkun. Everything is like fixing. The world of a child should be, ought to be, that it's a place of tikkun. And there's a mommy, and there's a tati, there's an abba and an ima, and there's mom and dad, and the house is, and you have what to eat, and everything's fine. And even if abba's struggling with parnasa, and even, you know, it's not something you talk about, and the kids are awake, and the little kids, I mean, the older kids maybe kind of have an idea, like there's something with like, you know, Abba's job or the in-laws or with the neighbors or the shul or the school or the this or the that or that. The little kids don't know, right? But here, for those who are growing up now and a little bit more aware and maybe are even feeling it and their eyes are open, our hearts are open to the pain and the suffering of the world. Hakol nimshach mechorban beis hamikdash. The root of it all is that the temple is destroyed and that the world is in a state of imbalance. The world is in a state of brokenness. Because there, sham ikra kedusha, ikra tikkun. Me'eis asher charav beis chayenu. Beis HaMikdash is called Beis Chayenu. Rachem al Tzion ki Beit Chayenu. Va'uvat nefesh toshia. Beit HaMikdash is called our home. Beis Chayenu, right? The whole setup of the temple is a home. It's called Asu LeMikdash v'shachanti b'tocham. I'll dwell within you. The Beis HaMikdash is that home that we make together with Ribono Shel Olam. It's a home, and at the core of that home is Tocho Ratzuf Ava, are the Kruvim that are facing each other on this Shalom Bayis. And there's also a broken heart there inside of that Aron of the broken Luchos. And there's a menorah because there's always a candelabra in the home, and there's Lechem Aponim, and there's a Shulchan because there's a table inside of us. There's a table, and there's light, and there's love, and there's food being eaten, there's libations, and there's sacrifices. And then there's a bedroom also that's called Cheder Mitot. That's what Tanakh is called by the Navi. It's Cheder Mitot, a bedroom, a place of intimacy. That's Beit Chayenu. And without Beit Chayenu, you know, like they say, when I'm home, everything seems to be right. You know, like there's a home is where the heart is. Home, sweet home. And when we're not home, and we don't have a home, when there's a home is broken, a home is shattered, Chas V'Shalom. So that's called a state of alienation. Me'ez Asher Charav Beit Chayenu. When our home, which is the core and the source of our life, Beis Kodshenu v'tifartenu, our pride and our joy comes from. The Gemara says, "Ein l'chayom." There's no day which is not worse than the one that preceded it. Like this spiral downward, further and further and further away. Man omar, man adaber. What could he even say? Befrat, and specifically, hachurban she'etzel kol echad ve'echad. This is not just about the Machon HaMikdash and the Kelim, the copper and the silver and the tzitz. It's not just about the Avnei. It's not just about the Techelet. It's not just about those vessels. It's not about the sacrifices that happened then. It's not just about a place called Yushalayim. It's not just about the Har Habayit. It's not just about the Machon HaMikdash. Befrat, Achurban She'itzel Kol Echa Ve'echa. It's about the churban that is in every single person. That we are. And it's that churban that's us. Shu churban beis hachachma ve'adas. There's this ma'arechet. There's a system of chachma and das. And without like opening it up too much, just on a basic level, just call it, you know, wisdom of knowledge, of understanding, of like the way that the self integrates into the world, the way that I am able to be in the world that's around me. Right? Sometimes we feel like there's two separate entities, right? Two circles. The way that these two circles can be integrated is with Chochma and Bina and Das. That's how we are able to like be in the world and understand and connect with what we see, what we feel, what we hear, what's out there. So that we can be connected with it, so we can be mitchaber to it. Right? That's how we feel at home in the world. Because I don't feel like I don't belong. I'm on the outside looking in. I feel like a stranger. I feel like I don't belong. People don't get me. Like, who am I? What should I do with my life? My parents don't understand me. I can't really share this with my friends because they'll think that I'm whatever. Or even in my own home, I just feel like I can't be myself. All that is called churban. It's called churban. That's called the churban of chachma and das. A person's just not. We're just not. There's times where it's not myself. I can't really be me. Or I don't even know what I am, or where I should go, or what I should be, or how I should act. Ve'im mi amod ba'adeinu. And who's going to stand up? No one could do it for us. There's no one who could stand up and make it right. There's no one I could like go talk to. Oh, if only I could like, if only I could have an appointment with Rav Weinberger, I'll be able to straighten this whole thing out. If only I was close to Rav Kluger, then he would be able to help me with this. Or if I went to Richard Meyer Morgenstern, he would explain it to me. Or if Pincus was still alive, I'd be able to go to Vin and talk to him, and he would give it to me straight. Or if Rabbi Yamima Mizrahi would be able, if I can have time with her. Ein mi amod badeinu. There is no one. There's no doctor out there that's going to fix it. Vein lanu amili hisha'ein. There's no one we could rely on. Ki'im arachamav amarubim. Bekoach ha-tzadikei emes shemamshichim rachamim chadashim b'choleis. The only answer, depending on Hashem and the tzadikim that Hashem sent into this world, the Or HaTzadik, that doesn't mean an individual person. It doesn't mean like getting an Eitzah. It's good to have Eitzahs. I ask Eitzahs from I have a Rebbe that I'm in touch with every single day. A very basic way. Every single day there's a point of contact. And every week there's a dibur. If it's not face-to-face, it's by email. And it's with the Sumtra every day. I know what he would say about most things. The majority of the Torah that I know in my life and that I've learned in my life is from him. What about all the years of learning beforehand? So Shalom explains what that means, the Rebbe Muvik means, that you're able to see it through his lens. It's not a question of like whether I'm going to get an answer for a specific Eitzah or not. That's not where it is. Not some book. You can read a million books. You can listen to a zillion podcasts. You can listen to Shurim until the end of time. And all roads are leading only one way. Depend on the Rachmanis that Hashem has for us, and the Rachmanis of the Tzaddikim, to awaken a belief that we have in ourselves. Al zeh yishlanu od tikva lebli liyayish atzmenu, that it's never too late for us, and that we ourselves, the body can heal itself, and that even within this churban of chachma and das, where we just can't find ourselves or feel ourselves or know where to go or what to do, and we kind of feel like far from where we want to be, or where we ought to be, or where we thought we once were, or we might be. Nosson writes, Ulai, ulai, yesh tikva, ulai, ulai. The Rachmanos of the Tzaddikim, and the Chesed that Hashem has for Am Yisrael, it's put these Tzaddikim in the world, all the Tzaddikim Amitim. It's a Tzaddik MS if the message is one which is saying, believe in your ability to fix, and turn to Hashem. And turn to Hashem. Azei yishlanu od tikva. Levli liyayish atzmeinu. There's still hope. To not give up chas v'shalom in atza'aka v'aza'aka v'frat b'eis b'yam v'mamarim elu. To cry out to Hashem in the middle of all of this difficulty and bitterness. And this is not just like a theoretical thing. It's not like talking about some outside idea. But what Rav Nosson's going through at this moment, right now, the 9 days, what's called the 9 days, that we're beginning tonight, Rosh Chodesh Menachem Av, built into this time of Pirud, this time of alienation, this time of distance and Churban, is Menachem Av. The Yartzit of Aaron HaKohen, who went Lifnai V'Lifnim on Klal Yisrael, led Rachmanos on Klal Yisrael. Aaron HaKohen is the Koach HaTzadik, that is Meitiv U'Madlik, that lifted up and lit up the world. The lighting of the menorah is lifting up the world. That's the world. Hatavas haner literally means like the preparation. Rashi says it's from the language of to make good. What do you have to make good? The fire is good. It's clean. It's pure. Kohen Gadol lifts it up and says, "No, you stay lit. Light. You're illuminated. Believe in your ability to push away darkness. To be meitiv, to be madlik. That's the koch of the Kohen Gadol. And that same Kohen Gadol is Oiv Shalom and Rodev Shalom." That Kohen Gadol is Matayar Tmeim. He was known as saying, "The Yatamim Lameis, but there's still hope. Alai, it's on me. Smoch Alai." That's the Koach HaTzadik, the Tzadiki Emes. Mitein Roshenu Maim, this is language from the Kinos. Ve'einenu Mekor Dema. shenuchal lishpoch sichenu kamayim nochach pnei Hashem. Because really that's the only etzah. That's the bottom line. Is after reading all those books and all the podcasts and all the shiurim and all the etzahs, and when you get that chance to speak to that mashpia or that rebbe or that dynamic teacher, and to hear the insights of these incredible Gedolei Yisrael you heard from tonight, one of the great Marbitzei of the Marbitzei Torah of the generation. You heard a phenomenal Torah. Anybody? I'm sad. I was listening to Shir, and I'm mamish in the middle of the Shir. I closed my eyes and said, "Hashem Echad, Hashem Echad, Moshe Emes v'Torasa Emes." Isn't Rabbi Rasna? Isn't Rabbi Liebowitz on Hashem Moshe Emes v'Torasa Emes? You listen to an Ian Shir from Rabbi Rosenzweig, from Meir Twersky, from Rosh Hashanah. Moshe Emes v'Torasa Emes. You doubt that the Torah is the eternal system, the Jewish people. But still, that's not enough. I mean, like, that's the starting point. Torah Hashem to me, but that's the starting point. If it doesn't lead to the bottom line of bottom lines, that we turn to Hashem, in our own words, by ourselves, Shpoch Sichenu Kamayim Nochach Pnei Hashem, words from Eicha, Shifchi Kamayim Libeich Nochach Pnei Hashem, that we're not really serious about getting to the bottom of it and fixing. We're still smearing it around. Still kind of like moving pieces around, kind of delaying the inevitable. It's delaying the inevitable. Personalizing Churban. And not just relating to the destruction of the temple as some national, historic, social, or cultural, or religious experience that took place then, that has some type of reverberation now, is everything Rav Nosson is writing to his son here. He's writing to his son here through the prism of what's taking place in his own personal life, framing it as part of the narrative of the Jewish people in exile. In other words, Golus is Golus. When we're not where we want to be in personal goals, midos, in the way that we speak to our parents, you know those experiences you get off the phone and just like, shoot, why did I say that? Why can't I just be a mensch for 5 minutes? Like, why do I have to like be annoyed? Why do I have to always start with? Why do I have to like get into it with my sister? Like, why can't I just let it be? Like, why can't I just be a bigger person? And I know this person in my neighborhood and shul is going to make a comment to me, but annoying, why can't I just get over it and just let it go? And why do I have to like bark up this tree again, my wife? Like, why do I have to get into this again, my kid? Like, why do I have to start again with this? And it's like, there's no chidushin in our midos. It's just the same. It's like we just kind of, you know, we're spinning wheels. You know, how do I end up in this situation again that I'm embarrassed of? Right? Again, I did a line of Oreos. I find myself in the situation again. Melchamol. That's Golus. That's the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. And we feel confused and alienated and uncomfortable in our own skin, and not sure, and like, you know, and the deeper, the closer we are, the more our place it is to feel connected. Where we don't feel disconnected, that's the more pain that Golus is. A person in their own home, in their own bedroom, in their own bias can be a stranger, God forbid. A person can walk into shul and not feel comfortable. That's exile. That's a painful exile. A person can not feel comfortable in the world of Limud HaTorah. It's a painful exile. A person can be in Yerushalayim and like not connect. It's even more painful. Or sitting among family on Shabbos or at a Thanksgiving or at a wedding or whatever it may be, and like feel like the odd one out, and everybody's telling them, so we're all telling ourselves stories all the time in our heads that I'm the one, I'm the dafuk one, I'm the one who doesn't belong, I'm the one who's getting the short end of the stick, and I'm the one who, like, you know, don't chat me. That's the churban beis hachachma v'adas. It's a kol echad ve'echad. And the only way to straighten that out is by talking to Hashem. It's turning it over to Hashem. Hashem is the only one who understands, the only one who knows the whole story, the only one who has the full picture, and the only one who's able to help us work through it, that we could really be ourselves and really be honest with. And the more direct we are, the more we're able to awaken that flame. We're able to, like, literally imagine a pile of rubble. I mean, I do this guided imagery, and I imagine a building. Imagine my heart. I mean, it's a terrible, it's a whatever. I don't have to do it so intensely. Imagine a place that you love falling to pieces. Imagine a place that you feel safe and feel comfortable. Imagine a place that you feel wanted and welcome. And imagine that place crumbling to bits. The walls caving in. And everything on all the elements of that place tumbling down, turning into rubble, dust. In my mind's eye, I sometimes go through this. And then imagine picking up the pieces of that, and moving out the rubble, and seeing that the essence of that is still there. At the bookshelves, and the pictures, and the photo albums, and all the items that we love and that represent that love. Wife's candlesticks, and piles of tefillin, and children's toys, and photos on the wall, and paintings, and the stuff, and the couch from Zadie. And then imagine, like, working through that and finding that the essence of all that is still there. So that place of revealing that the essence is still there is where we find hope. That's the ulai ulai yesh tikva. And that tzaddikim have shined a light and revealed that within this churban, there's the tochel ratz of Ava, the Beis HaMikdash still exists. The Kruvim were embracing at the time of the Churban's instruction. The love and the kesher, the yichud, is still there. The physical, external manifestation of it is not. But the essence is still there. And that's what Rav Nosson, who's on the run. This is a letter that was nichtav l'achar sheyatzama tfisa min ha-meitza, that there's still hope. Within all of that rubble, within all of that devastation, internally, and all that confusion and upset, there, inside there, there's a place of yichud that is revealed when we talk to Hashem in our own words. Not with the nusach ha-tefillah, that's called mincha. Not with benching, because that's called Birkat HaMazon. That's something else. That's prescribed. Achalta v'savata v'irachta. That's a different thing. That's a chiyuv. That's what you have to do at the time. But when I was a kid, I used to joke in camp, oh, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, yay God. You know? And I would say, oh, you know, I remember I had a counselor. The first time I went to an Orthodox summer camp, I was in Camp Ramah when I was younger. And then I went to, like, an Orthodox summer camp in life. I made some joke about it, and, like, the counselor was like, some guy, whatever, he meant well, whatever. He said, can't talk like that, Chas v'Shalom, is making a joke out of benching. Okay, so, first of all, I was making a joke out of benching, shine, 10 years old, supposed to make a joke out of benching. What's wrong? Second of all, why is it a joke out of benching? I kind of taught my kids that chant recently. I said at the end of benching, now, okay, you said benching, right? You did benching, you benched. Now you can thank Hashem for it. Meaning, like, now say something real to Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, but I hope next time Ima doesn't make, broccoli, whatever. Thank you, Hashem, but I hope Abba wouldn't buy spelt bread. I want the good white stuff. Say something real to Hashem. You know, like, if we cultivate that in our day-to-day, standard practice, and happy times, and then we'll be able to turn to Hashem and go to those dark and scary places, because they're not so scary. We're not alone. Hashem is there. The same Rabba Dub Dub, thanks for the grub, is there in the difficult places too. Bayamim hamarim ma'elu ad yinachim v'yoshio salam me'ata b'nechamos v'yishuos amityos l'netzach. These are days of Yeshua and Nechama. They're days of alienation and distance. And days of alienation and distance mean that there is a different opportunity, a new opportunity to draw close to Hashem from places that we often avoid. You have to go down to the basement. For 9 days we have, we're forced into the dark corners. You have to go down to that scary basement and bring up that box. You got to go into that freakoid attic that you avoid like the plague. You never want to go up there. You have to go up there. God knows it. And you have to. You open the hatch and go into that dark spot. That's what it is. Eich yashva badad. We're in that dark place. But we know that Hashem is with us and He's giving us a flashlight, and that what we're going to open up inside that box is going to be something which ultimately makes us whole and doesn't find those broken pieces, so to speak, and draws us closer to Hashem. And when lovers, when people who love each other, friends or people who love one another, argue and fight and sometimes feel, you know, broken with each other, when the reconnect happens, when they make up, when things get patched up, so like bring outside validation into it, but you know, everything you see in movies and TV has a little bit of truth into it also, is that the closeness that comes from that afterwards is that much deeper and that much more intensive and passionate and connected. And that's what we're preparing ourselves for in Rosh Chodesh Av, Menachem Av. Already getting ready for the Nechama. Already getting ready for the reunification. We're not going to be afraid. We're not going to be afraid of being with Hashem in Golus. We're not going to be afraid of being Hashem with Hashem in the darkness. Because we know that Aaron HaKohen is coming with us. The Tzaddikim are coming with us. Will lift us up. Show us that we're still lit. Show us that even if there's Tomei Meis, they can still be Tikkun. We can come to a place of Tahara, Malam, and Adas. Hashem should help that we believe in ourselves and we believe in the koch of these tzaddikim to awaken the belief in ourselves. Ulai yesh tikva, ulai ulai, and Be'ez Hashem will see that this month is going to be a month of great nechama, of great closeness, and rachamim gedol. Amen. Good Shabbos, everybody. Chodesh tov. Sweet month. Good month.